today, I just want to start one series, and I'm hoping you guys will hear God. Because this is a book called, in the book of 1 Thessalonians, we're talking about a church that Paul started. And if you look at the scriptures, you find, I hope you guys, some of you got a chance. I sent you a message saying, please read through it. And because the thing is as preaching is, I don't have a lot of time. There's more to it, to the book, than just the way I can do it here. I can't do justice to it. Amen? And this book was written by Paul. And Paul was the guy called Saul. And this is the guy who, you remember in Acts, he's the guy who was out killing Christians. Why? Because he thought he was actually being right and living the right way by persecuting the church. But later on, God revealed to him, actually, the people you are trying to kill are actually mine. Is it not strange that you can actually think you're so right, that you are wanting to serve God and you want to do the right thing? Because I believe with all my heart, Saul, in his heart, he wasn't evil. He was just burning with a zeal to please his God. But yet in his zeal, he actually was going against his God. And that's the place where we need always to check our zeal. Because sometimes, even for us, we may have a zeal in us so much that you want to do things for God. But in the process of doing, and you're not consulting God, you find you are actually missing him. And we see here with Paul that he actually, before God changed his name from Paul to Saul, from Saul to Paul, we see he was a terrorist. But God changes him, and God tells him, you are going to know. And this is the one thing I always say, I bless God that he didn't give me that descriptive of my job, because God says he will know how costly it is to serve me. How many of you guys, if you know that was your first introduction, Jesus just coming to you, you know what, Ngugi? Hey, you're going to understand how hard it is to serve me. How many of you guys do you think will be in serving God? Of course. But for him, he was given that. But his passion for wanting to serve God was not limited by that. And we see here, this was his second mission in Acts 15, where you find he actually went to Thessalonians and he was reaching out to them. This is a place. And every time Paul went to a place, he wanted to be the light. He wanted to be the light. And he started this church. But the thing with this church is he wasn't able to stay there for too long because there was a lot of persecution happening in that place. And if you look at the map, if you go and do a bit of research, you find Thessalonians was a very wealthy city that had a lot of money. I'm just giving you a background. And Paul, when he went there, as his nature is, and the nature that we need to be, all of us, is to be a light. When you get to a place, you want the kingdom of God to be there. And he reached out to this church. But before long, even he could not even finish to establish everything. He had to run away because of the persecution. People wanted to take him out. I'm just giving you a background. And that's where you find where the Church of Thessalonians. And it's so beautiful that these guys, even after seeing that, they still went on with the church. And that's the place where it always challenges me that even when you lead a congregation, it should not be built around you. It should be built around Jesus. That even if a time will come, because I am not going to be here forever. Am I making sense? But East does not stop. His people does not stop because it is God's work. So if my time comes to go, it doesn't mean people will go like, and then now the church has finished. We look at here, we see even when Paul left, the church still continued. And when we look at the book of Thessalonians, it was actually Paul responding to them because he had left the city. And it's so bad because the guys who were against him in Thessalonians actually followed him. If you read the story in Acts, they followed him to the next city. These guys were radical. And they wanted to cause chaos. So what happens when the book of Thessalonians comes? It's Paul that had sent Timothy back and said, go check that church we started. How is it doing? And what is happening? And this is the story you hear from Acts, from 1 Thessalonians, where you hear Paul writing to them. And he says this. He says, Paul, I'm starting from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1 to 10. Amen? Are we good? And it says, Paul and Silas and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. Paul used to write this a lot and how he just talked to the church and he's talking to them as their pastor. We always thank God for all you, for all of you, and continue mentioning in our prayers. We remember before our God and the Father your work produced by faith, your labor promoted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. That is 5. Because our gospel came to you, not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of your severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and that place. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves reported what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serving the living true God. And we wait for his Son from heaven, whom he has raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescued us from the coming wrath. Amen? So this is a chapter that Paul is just introducing. And you will see this book is written actually because he was trying to help the church understand, because there were questions they asked when Timothy was going. And one of them was about the coming of the Lord. Amen? And one of the things they wanted to know, how are they still, like, is the expectation still there? Is he coming? And there were people in the city who actually were making them feel like this thing they are believing is not real. Amen? Am I making sense? And we'll see in the book of Thessalonians, actually we will be talking about the second coming of God. How should we behave? How should we carry ourselves? Because if we look at right now, we have just come out from COVID. And I believe when COVID came, it actually shook everybody because nobody knew, are they going to be alive? And when they die, and I found out even Christians were fearful of death. Yet, when we read scriptures, we find out actually. And this was a very good thing when I was talking to Cedric and I said, how was mom? And he said, mom knew the Lord. And I went like, it's not goodbye. It's just actually saying, I'll see you later. Because for us, as children of God, we don't mourn like the people of the world. We actually know that if somebody knew the Lord, he has actually gone to a better place and we are about to go to join them. That makes sense. So this series will just be talking about how should we, as children of God, look at life. Because COVID showed us it didn't have discrimination. It didn't care whether you are rich, poor, healthy, or unhealthy. Like everybody was equal. Like everybody was equal. There's a guy in my gym. One of my friends sent me a message saying, I can't believe this guy died. I went like, what happened? This guy was, you know, those guys addicted to working out. This is a guy who worked out every day. He was the guy when you look at health, you go like, that's the guy. And COVID did not exclude him, took him out. And what I realized is all of these things that we had put as our foundation that, and I'm not saying don't go work out, so don't go and say you are preached, I will eat and do everything because I may die. No, that's not the thing. Because actually, if you don't keep your body healthy, you know, you'll give an account to it. It says this body is not ours. Anyhow, but the thing that I'm saying is all the things that we had put as our foundation, they actually meant nothing. Even if you had money, COVID did not spare you. Even if you were healthy, you ate well. You know those guys who their food is so healthy. When you look at the food even is just scaring you. It's so healthy. You just go like, there's no cooking oil. No, everything is just baked. But anyhow, so we find this is the thing. Paul is just addressing this. And I want to give you just a small scenario because you have to understand where Paul was coming from. Because remember, he was a Jewish. And even when they talk about death, it's actually something very beautiful, because when Jesus was, the time of Jesus, marriages were done in a certain way that was very unique. And I'm going to finish in around here. The marriages were actually done very differently. It's not like today. When I met my wife, we courted. After courting, got her married. Immediately, we were out, me and her. But in the olden time of Jesus, it was actually different. And it's so beautiful. Like when I was doing research, it actually opened my eyes to beautiful things. This is how it went. And you will see how, even when Jesus was going to be crucified, what was happening. So in the Jewish culture is, when I saw that girl, my punchu punchu, what happened is, what I'll do is, I will not approach her. I will go to my father. And when I go to my father, I say, I have sinned. And me and my father will decide how much they will go and pay. And it had to be something that is very expensive. Are we together? I want to show you how scriptures work. Oh, it's beautiful. And it's something that we value and we say it's this amount. And then what will happen is, me and my father, we will go and see my Punchu Punchu's parent. And when we meet them, we present our contract and we say, this is the amount we have decided to pay for your daughter. Are we together? And if, oh guys, the Bible becomes alive. And if the parents agree with us, guess what will happen? They will give a glass of wine. You remember Jesus when he was about to be crucified? What did he drink? A glass of wine. And he said, this is my new cup. So we will drink the wine in a symbol of signifying our agreement that this is now my wife. I have signed the contract. But I will not take her. So what I'll tell her is, I will come for you. I'm going with my father. And when I go with my father, I am going to prepare a place for. And the only way I will be able to tell you that I'm ready is when my father says the house is ready. Because if he leaves me to eat, I will just put something quickly. Because my hair is just going like, oh, sexy, sexy. I want to go and get her. But it will only depend on my father's approval that the house is okay. Then, and that's why when Jesus was asked, when are you coming? He says, I don't, only my, because I have gone to my father. Because in those days, they didn't go and build like the way we do our houses far. They actually built it just connected to the house for your father. That's why Jesus said, I have gone to my father to prepare a place for. Are we together? And then he has to wait. So we see here. So he says, I will only. So when Jesus drank that, he says, I will not drink it anymore. Why? Because he had signed a contract. Meaning you are now God's bride. And your life changed. You are no longer the same way. Like all the other girls, you will even cover, you will put a veil on you. And you will have that veil. And then the thing that will happen is, this punchu punchu of mine has to be preparing herself daily. Because she doesn't know the time or hour that I will come for her. So when we talk about when Paul was saying, live with this hope. Is we are being called. God is trying to look at us and saying, you are my bride. I've paid the price. What Jesus did on the cross, he paid the price for you and he drank the wine. And guess what? He talked to the Father. And guess who the Father was? He was also my Father. That he decided the price, and only God decided, because no one else can give the price but the Father. And when God presented, he said, I, on this side, he was standing as my father. And he said, I'll require a lamb to die. And when my father, he came this side, he said, I have come. My son is ready to die for you. And then we drank the wine and the seal was done. So you find this lady will live in a heart of expectant. When is my lover coming? How should I live? And you will find even the way she carried herself the whole time. And they said actually it took over like an year. Imagine for 1 year waiting for your lover. So when we talk about the future, because the someone it talks about in the light of Christ coming, this is the hope Paul was talking about, that how we live, how we walk like brides. We are not like normal people. The day I saw my wife, she changed things. She wasn't the normal casual person with everyone else because she has been marked. She has been chosen. She started walking different. Are we together? So when we look at the book of Acts or Thessalonians, Paul was challenging them, saying, live in this hope where you have an expectant that is going to come. Oh, and it gets better. In the olden days, the groom actually came as a surprise, and mostly at night. And the thing is, he will come and sneak in. And it says he steals her. What does the Bible say? Jesus will come. People will wake up and not find, because he's coming for his bride, who he has already paid the price. So this lady, his life is always living in an expectance. I don't know when he's coming. I need to be prepared. They are packing their things. They are going like, this is the way I live. I live in a certain way, being ready to present myself to my lover. So when we talk about living in the light of his coming, it's all of us here, including me. We are the bride. And that's why Paul goes and says, you have been chosen. Not you chose him. He chose you. And the thing is, he chose you even before you were born, with all of your craziness. And I want to add on this, even now when you are saved, you still do crazy things. I know he knows. I don't know. And it's so good. I don't know. He knows. And guess what? He still chose you. You know how big that is? That is what is called love. That even some of us, I will be honest, some of us even left him. But still he chose you. And Paul goes on and he says, he says, you have been chosen. Chosen by who? By him. And I like John 15, it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruits, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. We talked about the identity. Guys, if you can understand that you are chosen. You know, when I was preparing, just writing that heading, I lifted up my hands. I said, Dad, thank you that you chose me and not you didn't let me be the one to decide, because I know I will not have, but you chose me and he gave me that gift. Are we together? And remember the wedding? She's not the one who looked for me. I know right now things have changed. The ladies don't mind. They will come and tell a guy, I can't tell what is going on. You can't see me. You have just been passing all the time. I am here and I'm ready. No. Jesus did not wait for that. He's the one who looked at you and chose you. And not only chose you, but appointed you. And he said, you are chosen. Meaning your identity has changed. I no longer live on my identity, but on his. I make sense? Two, Paul talks about something else. He says, their work produced faith. Meaning how they walked. We say we walk by faith, not by. How many of us right now are walking in a walk that actually speaks about faith? We are all brides. So meaning each and every day, I am preparing myself to present myself to him. How many of us are actually ready? When I got saved, I think so that's the when, if I'm not wrong, the movie Left Behind came through. And it was just starting. And I remember as our church, we had a youth. We were taken, we watched the movie Left Behind. Ooh, man, I watched that movie. You don't know how much I prayed. I said, Lord, do not pass me by. Because it was scary. Because he says he will come like a thief in the night. None of us knows the time, the hour. And you know the thing that they were saying about the culture is she will always be putting oil in her lamp so that when the bridegroom comes, there is light to walk out with him. Meaning there is something that is required of us to be preparing ourselves. Jesus did not say in the old, it's not the bride will come and help the bride. The bridegroom will not come and help the bride to prepare themselves. It was the work of the bride. And that's why you find when we read the word, it says, you are washed because of the words that I've spoken unto you. Meaning you are cleansing yourself. You don't want your husband to be. I've never seen a bridegroom dirty when they're walking down the aisle. That's the time even they do makeup. You'll be shocked. The person you are doing counseling with and the one standing on the, it's like, sure. And you go like, what has happened? Why? Because she's presenting herself to who? To her Prince Charming. My question is, what are you doing to prepare yourself that when your bridegroom comes, because when he comes for us, he will come like a thief. And guess what he does in the Jewish culture? He actually takes the woman to the father's house. So meaning when he comes and takes us, he says, where are we going? To the father to present her. This is my woman. This is the woman I've been working for. So it's a two-way thing. There's us working and him working. Jesus is busy preparing a place. My question is, are we preparing ourselves? And that's why Paul was challenging them, saying, listen, don't. I can hear testimonies. And this one is actually a best book, not like Galatians or Corinthians, where he was cutting them, saying, hey, you guys have lost your mind. But this church was actually being recommended by him. And he said, your works, your faith is seen by the way you work, how you walk, how you carry yourself. Even in all of these circumstances, all these things that are happening, your faith is standing out. My question is, does your walk, is it produced by faith? Are we together? We have a lot of things. And I want actually to be honest with you. I want to write my own Thessalonians, but now I'll write first Gab East, chapter 1, to say, I'm really proud of you guys. There is a lot of guys who have actually left the Lord because of everything they went through. But you guys are here. And you're still fighting the battle. Are we always winning? No. But we are keeping on. Are we together? I know some of you, even today, waking up. It took God and the Holy Spirit to actually make you come here. Are you making sense? And I want to say, I recommend you. And I say, well done. Because the thing that we have to understand is when we talk about Christian walk, it's not 100 meter. It's a marathon. And I want to say this. You will miss a turn. I know this does not come from the pulpit. You will miss a turn. But I want to say, there is a GPS that tells you in 600 meters, make a U-turn. If you can listen to the Holy Spirit, you will still come back to where you lost your turn. I make sense? And that's why the Bible says, a righteous man shall fall 7 times, but 7 times shall he? We need to break this thing of when you fall, you feel like the world has come apart. No. You come back to the Father and you say, Dad, I'm sorry. And you punch in the GPS. You kill, I put the wrong directions. And the direction, the Holy Spirit will say, in 400 meters, turn, make a U-turn, and come back. And I want to say this. I know we always talk about faith, about overcoming and conquering. But I want to be honest with you. The people that I really salute are the people that fall. And they got the courage to actually wake up and fight the good fight. It takes faith. It's not easy when you have fallen and you wake up and you continue fighting the fight. That takes faith. Are we together? That takes faith. And all of us here, including me, we will fall. But we need to remember we are on a journey. We keep fighting the good fight of faith, where we are not giving up. No matter what, you still come back. Sometimes you will struggle. You are trying to read it and it's not agreeing with you. Guys, put the audio. Play it. Let it play in your mind. Look for brothers and sisters and say, can I walk with you? Because my second point, it says, they, because of their love, it says this, it says, their labor of love. And one of the things that I was seeing is, if you have hope, you know that you are chosen. Because of just knowing that you are chosen, that you are a bride, you start walking in a certain way. You start preparing yourself. So even right now, you need to be thinking, am I ready for my bride? And if you know about him coming, you will actually be not focused on so many things we are focused. Right now, a lot of us are focused on how much money can I make. Am I saying money is bad? No. Is it bad to have a good house? No. But it's not my objective. These are just tools that I'm being given. But my objective is to prepare myself to meet my Lord, my bride, my groom. Are we together? He says love. And then he finishes with this. He says, and the last one. It says they are patient of hope. I had somebody asking me there, Ish, how long are you going to wait for this God? He said he's coming over 2,000 years ago, and even now he hasn't come. But because I know he has chosen me, and because I know that I love him, and because I know that what he has promised, we have already signed the deal. And the thing with those days is when we drank that cup, the seal was made. It was as good as I have married her. So when Jesus drank that cup in that evening, the Last Supper, he was actually saying, I am committing myself to this person. That I will not look at another person, but you. My question is for us, even as we take this week, how are we walking? How are we walking? Are we working hard? Because the first thing that we need to do is to put a sign in us. And one of the signs they used to do is to have a covering. Yes, they will put it on. And the only time she will remove the veil is when she's married. I want to challenge us as a church and as children of God is that we need to know that we are engaged. And not only engaged in that culture, when I drank the cup, you are actually married. We need to have that where we live in a life of a special way. The way I walk, the way I create myself. We should not be playing around with the things of the world because it means you're not honoring him. Am I making sense? My punchu cut a lot of things because she saw the dark chocolate. I'm telling you, when there are times, yes, there are times when I wake up, I hear just mumbling, oh Lord, what did I do? Yes, you are so. What I'm saying is that what I'm saying is, because she was chosen, she changed a lot of things. Now her space was different. The people that she allowed in her surrounding was different. Why? Because she has been chosen. And that should happen to us as children of God. Know that you are chosen. Know that your price has been paid. Know that you have been married and he's coming. So the way I carry myself, I can't talk like ordinary people. I talk differently. I can't carry myself like ordinary people. I know right now we love being included. You don't want to feel left out. But can I be honest? When you're chosen, you don't mind being excluded because you know what is going to happen for you. I make sense? So that's what Paul was challenging this church and saying, guys, remember he's coming. Reminding them. And for them, they understood what it meant, that actually he's coming. And the thing is, nobody knows the time or hour. And that's why he was saying the 10 virgins, he said they were wise and foolish. Why? Because they slept and some did not carry enough oil. And it's so strange that you find the Bible using 10 virgins. Because for me, when I know, when you talk about virgins, it's purity. So it means they were pure. But yet God categorized them and he says they were wise and foolish. And the only difference between the two was their preparation for their master. The only difference was just preparation, not purity. They were all pure. But the only thing was their preparation. These guys took it for granted. They went like, we will see. Then he took a bit longer. The light was not on. But these five wise ones, they actually said, we don't know how long it's going to take. Let me put a bit of oil on the side. Meaning there are sometimes you will be even among other people. They want to do stuff. But you will look at yourself and you go like, will my lover like this thing? Esh, no. If he doesn't want, I will stay. Let them make fun of me. Let them say I am backwards. I am old-fashioned. It's okay. But my identity is on him. I want to please him so that when he comes, he finds me ready with my lamp still having oil. Amen?